Thank God for his faithfulness. I'm sorry my mic was off. While they're going to junior church, let me just read this from Miss Barbara. Barbara, raise your hand right there in the middle. Gospelite family, may God bless each of you as you have blessed me with your prayers, cards, calls, texts, visits, food, cards, flowers, coming to the hospital, funeral home, and house. Every kindness and love that you have shared to me is appreciated. Thanks and love, Barbara. Good to have you back, Miss Barbara. Appreciate you writing that sweet note. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 this morning. A year out of high school, with no plans for the future, a young man is challenged by his single mom and a successful businessman to start charting a better course for his life. Okay, are you with me? Here's the young man, 1 year out of high school. He's challenged by his mom, she's a single mom, challenged by his employer, a successful businessman, to start charting a better course for his life. Through the prayers of his mother and the biblical discipleship from his new mentor, he begins discovering God's purpose for his life is so much more than he could ever imagine or hope for. That is the storyline behind the Christian movie, The Forge. I encouraged everyone to see it back in the fall. I saw it 3 times. I couldn't get enough of it. That's how much it spoke to my heart. I saw it first with my wife and her parents. Then I had to take Colton. Me and him went one day. And then, remember, on a Sunday afternoon, several of you met us there, and we watched it. It's a powerful movie. But ever since that time, I've been burdened for discipleship to be taking place right here in our church. Jesus' ministry to his disciples is really the model that we can learn from. He chose 12 men, and they were a part of his group that he determined that he was going to mentor, to train, to teach, to disciple. That's why we call them the disciples. And then there was also an inner circle of disciples, even those really close to Jesus, Peter, James, and John. So we have kind of a model set before us, but I haven't done a very good job in the 8.5 years I've been here to really have a discipleship program in place. Something where we take young families, all these young people that are getting saved, and help them mature, help them grow, share our testimonies, of course, share the Word of God, and share life lessons to where they're going to grow in maturity. So that is the vision, and that is our theme for this year. Disciple. Be one. Make one. I'm not asking you to make 100. I'm just saying take somebody alongside of you. Help them as they mature. But before we can help somebody and make a disciple, we got to be one ourselves. You know, salvation is not the end, it's the beginning. You know, we pray and pray and pray for people to get saved, and all these teens have gotten saved, and then we think, hey, they got saved, that's wonderful. That's not the end, that's the beginning. They need to learn, they need to grow. And I've seen it played out in Pastor Colton's ministry. It's come naturally for him to mentor those teen guys in the youth group this past year. I've told you before, after we're all gone home, y'all have gotten your Big Mac and you're already at home getting ready for bed. He's out there playing basketball with these kids. Now, that means after youth group is over and he's taking them home on the bus, but they want to play a little basketball. Of course, not right now because it's too dark. But this was back in the summertime. And he says on occasion, they'll stop playing and somebody will ask him a question. Maybe it's a Bible question. Maybe it's something they heard in school. And you know what? Those guys just stop the game, stand around, and they're being discipled by our youth pastor. What a great example. That's what I'm talking about. And so I've seen it played out in his life. He's using teachable moments to guide them with life lessons. He's answering their questions about the Bible. Boy, he's gotten some tough questions. Let me just tell you that. He said, you're not going to believe what this teen asked me the other day. And things like that. But it's sharpening him because he has to learn how to respond. And he's great on apologetics. So he's the perfect youth pastor for these teenagers. It's amazing. But many of them I've seen, they have grown so much. Have you seen it? And I've been asking the Lord, how can we implement a discipleship or a mentoring, if you want to call it, ministry in our church? What's it going to look like? And if you're asking me right now what it's going to look like, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work exactly. I just know we need it. We need to help some of these young believers, the young couples coming in and their families, and they need to grow. They need to mature. And so that is our goal for this year. I don't know all the plans that God has for you this year. I hope you're seeking Him to help Him determine His path so you can determine His path for you. I do know part of His plan for you, because it's the same for me and for all believers, to be a disciple and make disciples. It's in the Great Commission, right? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then it says, and in essence, that is saying make disciples. Go and make disciples. A disciple is simply a follower of Jesus. A follower of Jesus. That sounds so simple, but it's not easy. Here are some evidences that prove that we are true disciples of Jesus. Look, number one, desire to read and study the Word. Just kind of use this as a checklist in your own life right now. Okay? Nobody's going to know. This is between you and God. Do you have a desire to read and study the Word? Number two, a love for others. Number three, spending time in prayer. Number four, tithing. Give 10% back as the Lord has blessed you financially. Number five, faithful use of spiritual gifts. Hey, He's gifted you. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You need to use those spiritual gifts. Number six, serving here at the church He's placed you at, Gospel Light. Seven, obedience to the teachings of Jesus. Hey, we've got to obey His Word. Number eight, witnessing to others. That ought to come naturally. Number nine, willingness to be held accountable. Okay, that's when it gets real sticky. I don't want to be accountable to nobody. You know what? It helps you in your spiritual growth. And then number 10, having a mentor. I've had people in my life that have mentored me and helped me. And it's a great blessing. All right? So just look over that list. Are they all on one page, Colton? There are two pages. Go back to the first five. Read over them real quick. All right, now go to the second five. And you may be able to name some more. There are other qualities in being a disciple of Jesus. But how are we measuring up? How many of those can you check off a list and say, I'm doing those things? Now, being a disciple, especially after reading that list, you're thinking, oh, this is not as easy as I thought it was. It's also not easy to make disciples. Discipleship is the process of investing in the lives of other people, sharing the Word of God, sharing our testimony, sharing our faith, our struggles, our victories with others. Why would we do that? To encourage them, help them as they're persevering in the race that God has planned for them. God wants to use us in their development. We can't just leave them to themselves. If your babies were born in your home and you just left them to yourself, they'd be in a mess. They needed someone to help them as they've grown up. And then they reach maturity. And then they're out of the home and you all cry, right? But that's God's plan. He wants us to prepare them so one day they're able to spread their wings and fly. All right? Let's start by understanding what a disciple is. When Jesus said unto His disciples, follow Me, there were a lot of implications to that phrase. Let me just give you some. Jesus is calling them to abandon their comforts. All that's familiar to them, all that was natural for them, Number two, he was calling them to abandon their careers. Hey, some were fishermen. And he was saying, drop your nets and follow me. Matthew was a tax collector. Close up shop and follow me. Leave your career behind. Their plans and dreams were now being swallowed up in his plans and dreams. How about this one? Jesus was calling them to abandon their possessions. Leave all your stuff behind. You're not going to need it. Remember when he sent them out two by two? He said, don't take nothing with you. Leave that in my hands. Amazing. How about this one? He was calling them to abandon their family and friends. Wow. Going with Jesus wherever he went meant leaving the loved ones behind. And then ultimately, Jesus was calling them, the last one, to abandon themselves. They were now plunging into a life of uncertainty, danger, sacrifice. In a world that prizes promoting ourselves, we want to lift up ourselves. Man, they were following Jesus, who told them the complete opposite. And I'll get to that in a minute. But I tell you, all of them rose to the challenge. They turned the world upside down. They gave their lives in service to Jesus as a disciple. Jesus had already given a number of hints to his disciples about his sacrificial death. But here in Luke 9, he now begins to teach them this truth very clearly. Look at verse 22. Jesus makes a statement about his death and resurrection. Now, it's clear that the disciples don't fully understand, partly because of unbelief, partly because of immaturity, partly because it was hidden from them by God. Jesus was only able to teach them as much as they were able to receive at a time. Jesus says in verse 22, read it with me, the Son of Man must suffer many things. In the Greek, it gives the idea of terrible, many terrible things. And be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes. Who were they? Teachers of religious law. And be slain. Everybody knows what that means, to be killed. And be raised from the dead the third day. Now, when Jesus is telling his disciples this, it must have shocked them to hear that their own Jewish religious leaders were going to kill their master. But Jesus did not stop with just an announcement of his own death. He also made a public declaration about a cross for every disciple. Here's our text for today. Look at verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, if anybody wants to be a follower of me, let him deny himself, give up his own way, and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now keep in mind, Jesus is talking about discipleship here and not sonship. This is not talking about salvation. This is talking about after your salvation. We are not saved from our sins because we take up a cross and follow Jesus. We're saved because we trust in the Savior who died on the cross for our sins. Are you with me? Right? But after we become children of God, then we should become disciples. A close modern word to the word disciple is apprentice. I believe everybody would know that. You work along someone real close and they teach you day by day. You're learning from them. So a disciple is more than a student who learns lessons by giving lectures or books. He is one who learns by living, working with his teacher in a daily hands-on apprenticeship or experience. Now, we can't be content to be listeners and just gain a lot of knowledge, but never put that knowledge into practice. Man, you can sit on these church pews till you're blue in the face, and you can get, but until you put it into action, it's not doing you any good. Jesus lays down the stern requirements for being a disciple. Man, he's calling for total commitment. He does not make it easy. Here's our 3 points. Number one, deny yourself. What's that mean? Identify with Christ in surrender. In other words, he says, if you want to follow me, You must first surrender to me. The hardest person in the world to deny is yourself. Can I hear an amen right there? Woo! It means saying no to yourself, giving up your own way, and giving yourself wholly to Jesus. Jesus' dreams become your dreams. Jesus' goals become our goals. Jesus' desires become our desires. Jesus' values become our values. His will becomes our will. Now, for an athlete, we can all relate. They deny themselves in order to please the coach. If the coach tells the player to do something and he doesn't do it, guess what's going to happen? He's going to spend some time on the bench, right? So an athlete, if they want to be successful, they submit, surrender to the coach. They want to please him. How about an employee? Well, they deny themselves and submit to their boss. How about in a marriage? The husband and wife deny themselves, surrendering their desires to fulfill the spouse's desires. Giving up your rights in your way and going with your spouse. How about in a friendship? Willingly going along with the other person's plans. In a friendship, it's so important that we not think of ourselves, think of others, think of them. Now, when you choose to follow Jesus, listen, there's going to be certain areas in which you choose to deny yourself. I wrote down a few. The places you go. The things that you say. Certain things that you do. Things that you watch or listen to. How about the people you hang around? You know, some of those things he's going to lead you to say, you know what? Deny yourself. Don't do that. Say no in order to please the one that you love. And that's why we need to be walking closely with the Lord. And he can tell us where to go, who to hang with, what we need to do and what we don't need to do, what we need to watch and not watch, listen to, not listen to. You take yourself out of the picture and put Jesus in place of self. That's what surrender is all about, denying yourself. Number two, take up your cross daily. All these are from verse 23 in Luke chapter 9. This is when we identify with Christ in suffering. You know, the cross today is an accepted symbol of love and sacrifice. It's right behind me, right? Everybody can see the cross. It reminds us of the death that Jesus paid for us on our behalf. But in the Roman world, the cross was a symbol of shame, guilt, suffering, and rejection. Crucifixion was not mentioned in polite conversation because there could be no more despicable way to die. It was an instrument of death. It was a horrible means of capital punishment. There is a cost to follow Jesus. Have you found that out yet? He makes it very clear that a disciple must be willing to be mocked for him, to be put down for him, to be misunderstood, to be laughed at, to suffer rejection, willing to be beaten, suffer physically for Christ's sake, even to the point of death. The phrase does not mean carry heavy burdens and have a lot of problems. I heard someone say it like this: I've got asthma. That is my cross to bear. That is not the way to apply this verse, okay? All of us got problems. We got burdens. No, it goes so much deeper than that. Standing for Jesus no matter what. That's what it entails. No matter how much suffering you're going to face. By the way, you can't crucify yourself. I don't think anybody's tried that. You can only yield your body and let God do the rest. Deny yourself. By the way, suffering always leads to glory. So any suffering you do down here, you'll be glorified one day in heaven. Number three, last one, follow me. This is where we identify with Christ in sacrifice. That means we model our lives after him. Small children pattern their lives after their parents, the way they talk, the way they act, the way they dress. Years ago, when Tanya would be feeding one of the boys, guess what Katie would do, our oldest? She'd get one of her dolls, and she would pretend she's feeding her doll. And there's so many characteristics I see in Katie's life because she's patterned her life after her mama. I think all of you can relate. How many have heard before, you're just like your daddy. You're just like your mama. That's the same principle that I'm getting at. We should emulate Jesus. We should be resisting temptation like he did. We should believe in what he believed in. We should obey what he obeyed. We should respond to people like he did. Following Jesus is more than just learning about him. It's becoming like him. Let me give you a simple fact this morning. Listen carefully. The more you follow him, the more you're going to be like him. And I fall way short. So many times. He sacrificed his life for us. Hey, we got to be willing to sacrifice for him and for others. So according to Jesus' definition, would you consider yourself a disciple of Jesus? Deny yourself, you're identifying with Christ in surrender. Take up your cross, you're identifying with Christ in suffering. Follow me, you're identifying with Christ in sacrifice. Now, let me just go to the next couple verses. This kind of life seems foolish to the world. If an unsaved person hears a passage like this, or you tell them, hey, I need to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Jesus, they're going to say, man, that's weird. But you know, to the Christian, I think we would all agree this is the wise way to live. Amen? Look at verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, Jesus' sake, the same shall save it. Let me paraphrase that for you. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for Jesus' sake, you will save it. That's what it means in a nutshell. You're going to live life to the fullest. To lose yourself, by the way, is not an act of desperation. It's an act of devotion. So we need to lose ourselves. Verse 25. For what is a man advantaged? What is the benefit? If he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away. If a person owned the whole world, he'd still be too poor to buy back a lost life. Let me relate it to you. Once we have spent our lives, we cannot buy it back. You only got one life to live. You know, people say, hey, when the sand of the, what's that called? When it runs out, we're not going to be able to flip it over. That's it. Our time is going to be gone. So we need to make sure that we spend our lives for Jesus right now, because you can't buy it back. All right. Discipleship is a matter of profit and loss. A question of whether we're going to waste our life or whether we're going to invest our life, making most of the opportunities that God gives us. By the way, he gives you so many opportunities to be a disciple and to make disciples. You may gain the whole world, be a success in other people's eyes, and yet have nothing to show for your life when you stand before God. Judgment day is coming. How many believe that? Shake your head. Look at verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. You know, our motive should be to glorify Jesus. And anyone who's ashamed of Christ will never take up his cross, never follow him. If we are ashamed of him now, he's going to be ashamed of us when he comes again. And we're going to be ashamed when we stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ. I got one more scripture for you, 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him. In other words, remain in fellowship with him. That when he shall appear, how many believe he's coming back? We shall have confidence. Man, you're going to be full of courage. And not be ashamed. In the Greek, it means to shrink back before him at his coming. You know, being a disciple is a daily discipline. We walk with God one step at a time, one day at a time. That's one of the best things about life, is that we take it one day at a time. You blew it yesterday, guess what? You got a fresh start today. So let me ask you, are you acknowledging Him? Are you serving Him? Are you glorifying Him with your life? I just finished this out. You got two approaches to life. And I just want you to compare the two. Ready? Deny yourself or live for yourself. Take up your cross, ignore the cross. Follow Jesus, follow the world. Lose your life for Jesus' sake, or save your life for your own sake. Forsake the world or gain the world. Keep your soul or lose your soul. Share His reward and glory, or lose your reward and glory. Wow. Those are the only two approaches to life that you can have. Which one are you going to choose? Let's bow our heads in prayer.